And open with me to the book of 1 John and chapter 4. You will stand with me when you have it. First John chapter 4. I want to read verse 9. And then I'll let you be seated and I'll read the rest of the text that we want to focus on this morning. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. The Apostle John writes, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Amen. Verse 10 reads, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Verse 12, "No man have seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." Father, I pray that you would just simply speak to us this morning in a way that all of us will be able to understand it, and that we'll be able to live it out in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All of us is born with a built-in desire for love. We're born with a need to be loved. All of us, if we be honest, all of us need to feel like that somebody cares about us. We need to feel appreciated. We need to feel like somebody somewhere wants us. We're born with it. It is a built-in, God-given desire, and I take it even further than that. It's not only a desire, it is a need. Amen. It is a need that we have. When a child is born in the world, he's born with this need to be loved. Amen. I believe that one of the saddest and darkest places that any person can be in this world is to be in a place where they feel like nobody cares. And nobody loves them. Amen. And so we're born with this desire to be loved. We're born with this need to be loved. Now, folks, I want to tell you that when we talk about this glorious and grand thing called love, there is no love that can compare to the love of God, our Heavenly Father. He loves us with a love that we cannot fathom, that we cannot understand. I thought about this morning, I thought about that if we just talk about the love of a husband and a wife, or a parent and children, or mutual friends, if we just simply stay right there and we just talk about that love, we're at the very base of the mountain. But if you want to reach the peak of the mountain, if you want to go to the heights of the mountain, we have to talk about this awesome love that God has for you and me. The love of God. The Bible teaches us that the love of God is a great thing. Let me tell you, God loves every person. God's love is universal. God loves the Jew and the Gentile. God loves the black and the white. Listen, God loves the rich and the poor. God loves the educated and the unlearned. God loves those who are trying to do right, but God also loves those who are definitely wrong. Listen, God has got a universal love for us. He loves everybody. But then the second thing I want you to know about God's love is that God loves at all times. There's never a time, there's never a season that you cannot give God a reason to stop loving you. I'm glad about that. Because if anybody has ever given God a reason to stop loving, I have given God some legitimate reasons why he ought to wash his hands of me and say, I'm through with Anthony Bledsoe. God loves everybody. His love is universal. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 3, verse 16. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves every person. God loves at all times. God loves. I don't know where you are this morning in your personal life, but can I just give you some good news? You're not beyond the love of God. You haven't gone too far. You haven't done too much. You haven't done too bad to outlive and outreach the love of God. God loves every person. God loves at all times. But then I thought about God's love is always undeserved. There's never a moment. There's never a day when any of us deserve the love of God. On your best day, when you put your best foot forward, you still don't deserve this magnificent love of God. That's important. We need to understand that. Listen, we really do need to understand that, church, because listen, there are a lot of us who are not enjoying the love of God because we're still trying to deserve the love of God. You see, there are a lot of us who live with this mindset, if I just get myself cleaned up, if I just stop doing this and if I just stop doing that, then maybe God will love me. But honey, listen to me. God loves you in the midst of your mess.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father God. Amen.
God don't love your mess, but God do love you.
Amen. Amen.
There's never a time when you deserve the love of God. There's never a time, listen to me, when you can merit the love of God. And it's on this great subject, this grand and glorious subject of love, that John wants to talk to us about. Now, John has talked to us about how we ought to love one another. Amen?
Amen.
And John has talked to us about how we ought to fellowship with God and one another, because fellowship helps us stay spiritually strong.
Amen.
But now John takes us to the top of the mountain and allows us to just taste and get a glimpse of this magnificent and indescribable love that God has for sinners like us. I never understand the love of God. I believe one of the reasons why God want to keep us in heaven for eternity is because it's going to take eternity for us to understand. I could understand God's love for me if I was a decent person. How many of y'all know that you're not only are you not a good person, you're not even a decent person? Even the good things that we call ourselves doing is tainted with sin. Nothing that we do. Listen, nothing that we do in perfection. It's all tainted. And yet, God chooses to love us. God, listen, God chooses to look beyond our faults and demonstrate his love toward us. There are four things that I want us to learn from this text this morning. Now, we'll have to come back to it, because this morning we, at the end of the service, we have a young man who's going to give us his testimony. Amen. Amen. I'm going to preach a sermon. He's going to give his testimony. Then I'm going to come back and give the invitation. But I want you to get a hold of God's love this morning. I want you to leave out of here understanding and knowing that God loves you. That God genuinely cares about you. John wants us to see it this morning. John has been, he's been bouncing back and forth. He talked a little while about brotherly love. Then he goes to the mountain peak of love. He talks about God's love. I want us to settle down this morning in God's love. There are four things I want you to see from this text. Look with me in verse number 9. John said, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Here's the first little thing I want you to see, and that is the greatest demonstration of God's love for us is the cross of Jesus Christ. I told you this before, but the Holy Spirit really buckled down with me this week and told me, said, "You remind Solid Rock that you cannot gauge my love for them based on anything other than the cross." Listen, you can't gauge God's love for you based on your bank account right now. Because many of us would say, you know what? If my bank account is an indication of how much God loved me. You can't base God's love for you based on what kind of car you drive or what kind of home you live in. What's going to happen when you wreck the car and the tornado get to home? The greatest demonstration, the greatest proof of God's love for us is the cross of Jesus Christ. John says in verse number 9, he said, "In this was manifested," in other words, this is how God showed us that he loved us. That God sent his Son, his only Son, into the world. He sent him as a sacrifice for our sins. He sent him so that you and I could have fellowship with God and have eternal life. Jesus came into this world to save us. And the cross is the greatest demonstration of God's love. Write this verse down. You don't have to turn there. But in St. John chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus says, "Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus said, listen, this is the greatest of all love, is that a man lay down his life for his friends. Look with me. Turn to Romans chapter 5, because I want you to see this. Look in Romans chapter 5. And I want to begin reading in verse number 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love," that is, God demonstrated his love. God showed his love for us. "And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, to me, in my mind, it's not just what he did, but it was when he did it. You know, it's one thing if you help me when me and you are bosom buddies and we're running paths. But it's another thing when you stop your life and put your life on the hold so that you can help me get out of a mess that I made for myself. Amen. That's what Jesus did for us. He didn't wait till we got right. He didn't wait till we changed our mind. But Jesus Christ came into this world and he suffered and he died while we were yet sinners. Not only that, but listen what Paul says in verse 10. For if when we were enemies, underline enemies, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The first thing that I want you to see from 1 John chapter 4, I want you to see that the greatest demonstration of God's love is the cross. It's the cross. And folks, you can't judge. Listen to me. You can't gauge God's love for you really no other way. I've heard people say, you know, if God really loved me, he would heal me of this disease. If God really loved me, he would fix my financial trouble. If God really loved me, he would solve my family issues. And listen, God may or may not do that. But let me tell you one thing that God didn't have to think twice about doing. He didn't have to think twice about sending his son to die on the cross so that you and I didn't have to spend eternity in hell. Brother Dale played a song here last Sunday night. He preached an awesome message. I'm telling you, an absolute awesome message. But he played a song by Mercy Me. Said, even if he don't. Listen, even if he don't heal me of this disease, even if he don't fix my financial trouble, even if he don't solve my family problems, even if he don't rescue me from this mess that I'm in on earth, let me tell you what he did do. He solved forever my eternal problem. Listen, I would have a problem getting into Mr. Trump's office this morning. Oh, let me tell you, because of Jesus, I have no problem stepping into the pearly gates. You say, how do you know? Is it because of the money you got in your pocket? Is it because you don't have no problems here on earth? I know by faith the cross did it. John said, number one, I want you to know God loves you. He proved it at the cross. But here's the second thing John said, listen. He said, I want you to know something else about God's love. And that is God's love is productive. Look at the last part of verse number 9. He said that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. John said, look, John said, when you step off into the ocean of God's love, you also step off into the ocean of God's life. John said that this love produces something. It produces eternal life. It produces real life. It produces better life for us. Jesus, I have come that you may have life. You may have it more abundantly. God's love is productive. Dr. Alan Carr said that the love of God is the greatest sum he ever seen in all his life. He said, I've never experienced anything like the love of God. He said, and the reason why I can say that is because everything else that God has done for me is based on his love to me. And so here, my question this morning, Solid Rock, do you know he loves you? I got one amen. No, I got one woo. And a half an amen. You need to know that he loves you. And that's what I come to tell you this morning. He loves you. He loves you unconditionally. Listen, for those folks who wrestle with that word unconditional, you got a problem. Let me tell you why you got a problem. Because if God's love for us is conditioned on anything, we failed it. God just chooses to love you. John said, first of all, he demonstrated it. Secondly, it's productive. But look with me in verse number 10. John said, herein is love. Not that we love God, underline that, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Here's my third point. So we get ready to go home this morning. And that is God's love for us is not determined by our love for him. How many of us can really be honest this morning as we sit up here and look so pretty and so holy and pious? But how many of us can honestly tell the truth this morning and say, I don't love God like I ought to? I fall short in loving God. Listen, I fall short in loving my wife.
Amen.
I see her every day. I miss the mark when it comes to loving God. But ain't you glad this morning that you are not saved because you love him, but because he loves you? John said, listen, God's love for us is not determined by our love for him. Look at verse 10. He said, here in his love. This is real love. Man, this is life-changing kind of love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. He loved us. And our love does not increase his love for us, nor deter his love for us. Here's my last little point. Look with me in verse 11. John said, beloved, now he's talking to us now. He said, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If God so loved us, broken, wretched, dirty.
Come on.
I'm gonna keep naming them till I get to yours. So I want you to say amen. Fallen.
Come on.
Prideful.
Yes.
Selfish. Come on, keep coming.
Yes,
listen, if God so loved us, John said, we ought to love one another. You know, it's a poor frog that won't love a frog that live in the same pond he live in. John said, if God so loved us, Jeff Jordan, we ought to love. Listen, we ought to have no problem loving each other. We all live in the same mud. Come out of the same dirt. Now here's my little point. I'm going to sit down so Tom can come. God's love for us is the supreme reason why we ought to love one another.
Amen.
I want to say that again because listen, I promise you that needs to sink in. God's love for us is the supreme reason why we ought to love one another.
Amen.
You ever met folks that you have to look for a reason to love them? You spin them this way and you don't see no reason. You spin them that way, you don't see no reason. You turn them upside down and you don't see no reason. You find it hard to love them because they don't look like you. The dirt that God made them from is a different color dirt than what he made you from. We all came from dirt. You dirty. I'm telling you, you dirty. I'm telling you, you came from dirt. God just scooped you out of a different color dirt than he scooped me out of. But at the end of the day, dirt is dirt. We have a problem loving them because they don't go to the same church we go to. We have a problem, listen, we have a problem loving them because they don't live by the same standard that we so-called live by. And so we look for reasons to love people. But John helps us with that this morning. John says, I can fix that for you right now. You ain't got to look for no reason no more. You ought to love them because God loved you. That's the supreme reason. That's the supreme reason. This great love that God has for us. God wants us to stop trying to earn it. God said, you ain't got to understand it. You just need to believe it and receive it. Amen. And you said, Brother Anthony, how do I receive it? You receive it by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. It starts right there. That's the first step. You got to do that before you can do anything else. You know, the salvation program is a funny program. You can't skip step one and go to step two.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You got to be born again before you can start to grow. I'm going to sit down for just a minute and let time come. But I want to leave you with this question this morning. Do you know? Are you experiencing the love of God in your life? Now, if you're not, it's not because he's not pouring it out. It's because you're not taking it in. Brother Tom.
I appreciate one thing. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know.
Yes, you do too.
You know what? It looks a lot easier being up here from down there. Because I'm a little bit nervous right now. But in about a week, Sandra and I are heading off to Arizona. And I went to a revival for three days last week. And it's just something was telling me I need to come up here and say a few things. Amen. And then a testimony. And I started thinking, I don't know what testimony I could have. I've never had one of those wow moments in my life. I've never deserved this, but and it's like you just said, God loves me because I really haven't had any major trials and tribulations in my life. I've been blessed, and I can only thank God for that. So I started thinking, well, what kind of testimony could I give? And I thought, well, so I started thinking back to when I grew up in West Texas and Mama took us to church. I've been in and out of churches all my life, mostly out, but I've been in and out of them. And I started trying to think, well, what am I? And I said, I've come to the conclusion what I have been all my life is an on and off Christian. I kind of got this switch where you can turn it off and then you can turn it on. And maybe a lot of us do. I know I do. But I also have come to realize that God doesn't have an on and off switch.
Amen. Amen.
He's hardwired to the on position.
Amen.
And he was always there for me.
Amen.
And I know I've had some down times and some up times. And every time I was down, I turned the switch on. I did. I said, Lord, help me. And trust me, when he stood me back up and dusted me off, I said, thank you, Lord. But I think I turned that switch back off pretty quick. And I've kept it off too long. I've got it on, and I got some wire, and I kind of wired it up where I'm hoping, I'm praying, and I'm going to keep it on. I want to thank God for what time I have left in this world. I want to praise him. I want to thank him every day. I need to do that. I tell you, I hate to admit this, it's sad. I wasted a lot of good years where I could have been thanking the Lord. And I don't have a lot of time left. I hope I got a good 20 years or so left, at least. But I've wasted a lot of time, and I got a lot of catching up to do. That's about all I can say about that. I do have, like he said, one more thing. It's about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, it's her birthday today.
Happy birthday.
My beautiful wife and I walked right through those doors. And we know in our hearts that God led us to those doors. And that's the little part I want to make clear. God led us to those doors. Sandra and I had to step through those doors. Sandra and I could have came here and we could have stood outside those doors. We could have listened to Brother Anthony. We could have prayed. We could have sang. We could have gave offerings. We could have probably done that the rest of our lives. But it's up to us. It was up to us to make that one simple step through that door. And we're pretty weak as man. Women, we're very weak. And that seems to be one of the hardest things for us to do, is to take that step, that real little simple step through that door. One foot in front of the other. Come in with a outreached hand, perhaps, but you got to have an open heart.
Amen.
And just say a few simple words. They're simple, but they're very, very powerful, because they are the word of God. And it's, I believe that Jesus is the Christ.
Amen.
I believe that he died for us.
Amen. Amen.
And I believe that by believing, I shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I would like to say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for everything you've done for us today. Lord, thank you for being here today. Lord, I hope and I pray that every man, every woman, and every child came here today with an open heart. And Lord, I hope and pray that some, if not all, of the scars were removed from our hearts. And our hearts were filled with love, your love. But Lord, I pray that as we leave your house this morning, that we carry that love with us, and that we do not leave it on the doorsteps of Solid Rock Baptist Church. I hope when we go out in the world tomorrow, and I pray, Lord, that when we go out in the world tomorrow, that we've got a big smile on our face. I'm hoping that we have an extra spring in our step so that we will be noticed. Yes, a change so much that we will be noticed.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And that perhaps somebody might walk up to us and say, "What are you smiling about? You sure look different today." And Lord, I hope that we do not say, "Well, you know, we had a really great weekend." Lord, this is where you come in. You are strong, and we are weak.
Yes, Lord.
Dear Lord, give us courage.
Yes.
Give us courage to go out in the world and testify and be your witness.
Yes, Lord.
Dear Lord, you are almighty. And I would like to thank you once again for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.